This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Just stepped outside, didn't expect hail, but that happened. Rude, sudden transition from a sunny, warm weekend, at least where I was, to today, or yesterday, I guess. Bills over the Jets on Monday Night Football, and then
radio interview.
Hey, Eric. Then the trade for Amari Cooper. Are you good? You having some car stuff going on today?
I am. Yeah, I am. Hopefully, checking out of the dealership shortly. Came back to a flat tire about noon in Louisville, and at the airport. So getting it to somewhere to get fixed has been quite the adventure today.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. So I imagine with that said, though, you're up on all the news here, all right? We're not breaking Amari Cooper trade news to you. You're aware, right?
I haven't had anything to do all day except for to track the news and to stay up to date on everything that is Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, and all the other news going on today.
Well, we'll get into some of the game, of course, but how badly needed for you, Eric, was a wide receiver move? And then we'll talk about Cooper as well. But was this something you thought the Bills needed to do?
I do. And, you know, and I think part of it is because of the game plan that teams are putting against the Bills. The Ravens, starting in week 4, said, okay, well, we're not just going to play zone defense and let Josh Allen make smart decisions over and over on us. We're going to play press man defense, try to contain Josh in the pocket, and bring blitzes, and you're not going to be able to separate. And that worked for a couple weeks. Last night was a better performance, but even in so, you know, the need for an immediate help on the outside at wide receiver seemed imminent, and I'm glad the Bills made the move.
Yeah, I thought last night, like, the numbers certainly looked much better than they did a week ago in Houston. It's hard not to improve on 9-for-30, for crying out loud. But even with that said, I thought a lot of what they did through the air was sort of off, you know, out of structure type stuff from Allen. And so it's been a few weeks since we've seen, like, any sort of a consistent winning passing game from the pocket. And that makes me feel like he's having doubts about guys' ability to make plays for him and get open downfield. So hopefully Cooper addresses that.
Yeah, I think so. And he's a proven wide receiver. And look, with Shakir getting banged up against Baltimore and not being able to play, against Houston, you know, this also gives you some insurance throughout the season in case he were to go down again. And he was very limited last night. And so while he heals up, you get another proven wide receiver on the outside. And, you know, the Davante Adams situation, like, would he have been welcome to Buffalo? Of course, but then you're mortgaging your future to get it done, if you could even get it done with the salary cap for this year. And so the fact that the Bills were able to make this move, and it seems to be, or it is, very cap friendly. And yes, you give up a third round pick and a seventh, but you get a
We got you, Eric? All right, hang on.
Reconnecting. And a sixth. There, I'll finish the... That's where he left off with what else the Bills are getting back after sending a sixth and a third to Cleveland.
Which way does that go? Who gets the sixth? Who gets the seventh?
Cleveland gets the seventh and a third. The Bills get Cooper and a sixth.
Okay. So the Browns tell the Bills they want a third-round pick. The Bills try to keep their dignity, their self-respect. Like, all right, we'll just throw in a sixth. And then Cleveland says, it's a year later, too. So Cleveland says, all right, we will, but throw in a seventh the following year, and then we're good. That's how that goes?
I guess the back and forth, so, on that? Yeah. I didn't know for sure on the years on all that, but yeah, okay.
I think so.
That is how that goes.
Eric, you were saying?
Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah. No, but in the terms they were able to get it done as well, you give up a third and a seventh, you get back a sixth, but then how cap-friendly this is where you don't have to mortgage your future in order to bring in a guy for this year. To me, the fact that Bean was able to get it done, I think it's welcomed by myself and, you know, all Bills fans out there.
What I would love to know about Brandon Bean and his thoughts throughout this offseason into the season is just how prepared he might have been mentally, Eric, to do something like this eventually. I mean, so much of the offseason conversation about this team has been, well, what about the loss of Stephon Diggs? And the Bills sort of built their room, and maybe Bean thought it would work, or maybe he might have guessed that it would be week six-ish. And yeah, you know, even without a big injury, there's still probably a need for someone, you know, like a wide receiver one type. And he would have been right. I mean, evidently, he would have been right in thinking that by October, a player like this would have been available. I mean, it maybe isn't always true, but if that was his bet this year, he was proven right. I just wonder what he has really thought about what this receiver group was and what it would amount to, and maybe just how ready this whole time he's been to make a move like this.
Yeah, that's a great question. It'd be one I would love for some clarity on, because you know, you go through 3 weeks and it seemed like your off-season plan with their wide receiver core was working, and maybe, you know, in the future it was, okay, we're going to, when we have some more cap room, maybe we add, you know, a bigger name at receiver, a more proven receiver, or maybe Keon Coleman or Khalil Shakir, you have other guys develop into that spot. But after weeks 4 and 5, you know, I think he saw the same things we were all seeing, and that, you know, we were really struggling to get open against man coverage. So you go and make a move.
How do you think the receivers that are here receive this news? Because I mean, they've been living in this, you know, nobody cares about stats, everybody eats thing, and now here comes a guy that, I mean, clearly outranks everyone in the room kind of by a lot. How do you anticipate the receivers all reacting to this news?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, you got young guys in Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir that are probably very excited to learn from Amari Cooper, to add him to the room. It seems like the character of, you know, most of the guys that the Bills carry on their roster would say anybody that we can bring in to help the team helps us all. Now, you know, receivers are sometimes a different breed, and there's generally some selfishness when you look at receivers in general, but I would imagine that for the most part, they're excited. Are there guys kind of in that maybe 4 and 5 spot in the wide receiver room that are saying, okay, well, there goes my touches. There's probably that feeling as well.
What is the center's reputation, by the way, in this sport? I mean, wide receivers are branded as divas. What about centers? Are they know-it-alls? What are centers?
That's a great question. Potentially a know-it-all, because we're the one that are the most vocal up front and everyone's kind of got to follow our direction. I would say O-linemen in general are portrayed as breeding pretty unselfish players. You know, when we get our name called, it's generally not a good thing. So, you know, we all have to band together. You have that mentality of teamwork. I mean, from my perspective, some of the strongest reputation on the team.
No offense, by the way. I felt like that had to be something negative.
Like you branded something good. It has to be something sort of like a negative facet of the reputation. That's why I went there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, reputation for being overweight, not the most athletic on the team, probably not the most attractive.
Well, but, you said it.
But super smart. right. Well, back to my question about how the receivers will react to this. Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Bills are releasing Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So not to be cute, but like his reaction is probably like, damn.
His reaction is, thanks for having me back, Kansas City.
Right.
Okay, well, so when I was referring to, you know, the fourth or fifth guys on the roster, right. I'm referring to him.
Right.
And probably to an extent, a Mac Hollins. Now, Mac Hollins throughout his career has been a role player at receiver and then a very quality special teams player. So he goes back to what he has been throughout his career and likely what he envisioned for the most part when he signed with the Bills this offseason.
Well, Eric, we'll see about Cooper and his impact. There's a long way to go this year. Do you have any opinion of the player? This is the third time he's been traded. He's had some very big games and 7 1,000-yard seasons in the league. Difficult year this year. That might be putting it nicely.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy with a strong reputation throughout the NFL. Quality route runner. Seems to be a no-drama type of player. And, you know, he's 6'1", he runs a 4.4, you know, athletic. I mean, he's, you know, thought of enough coming out of college that he was the number 4 overall draft pick, and he's had a quality career. And then, you know, a guy like that to go from the situation he's in Cleveland right now to being able to come to the Bills, play with Josh Allen at this point of his career, he's in year 10, you know, you're desperately trying to go make a run at a Super Bowl, chase a ring. You know, he's got to be ecstatic coming to the Bills.
Can we pivot to the game last night? What stands out? Obviously, a much-needed win, no question about that. Was a hard game to watch, really, with all the penalties on both sides. You're just bracing for a flag every time anything good or bad happens to either side. What are your takeaways from the Bills winning to get to 4-2?
Yeah, it's a good win. It's a division win on the road. That Jets team was charged up last night. You have that interim coach one game bump in effort intensity, and you know, from the jump it seemed like they were playing a lot more inspired football than maybe they had at times this season. And you know, you take care of business and you get the win. Was it pretty? Absolutely not. You say it's hard to watch. It's hard to call a game when every time the play ends there's a flag down. Okay, so I'm on the broadcast. Brownie provides the what, and I'm providing the why. Well, it's hard for me to, you know, formulate a thought when I'm wondering if the officials are about to cut in at this moment to interrupt,
right,
to explain what these offsetting penalties or the double flags are on each and every play. So the flow of the game was pretty wild. And, you know, the Bills, this last night was a game where you have some things go against you. You have the Hail Mary situation at the end of the half and a missed extra point, a missed field goal. They, of course, missed two field goals as well. But it's a good win, and it gets you back on track. It's the end of a three-game road trip, and you get one of those wins. And now you're sitting at 4-2, and it was huge. I mean, you go down to 3-3, and you lose another AFC game and, you know, a game against – another team in the division. We're sitting here today, and there's not a whole lot of optimism.
And was there any speculation about there being a door in MetLife Stadium after all that somebody opened with all the missed kicks?
Potentially. It, like we mentioned on the roundtable yesterday, it was windy in there, and I couldn't believe with a closed-off stadium, the way that structure is, that it could be that windy at field level. I believe the wind died down some from, you know, that all the reports, like when ESPN was showing coverage of the NFL Live crew and their hairs going all which ways and their paperwork. I think it died down from that point up until game time, but not a strong showing by the kickers last night. And if we're going to get to a Tyler Bass take now, it was just interesting to me last night, the comments after the game, when asked where his confidence level was in Tyler Bass, Sean McDermott didn't say anything about his confidence level. He just said he knows he needs to make those kicks. So whether there will be news in that situation or you just hope that Tyler Bass can right the ship, we'll see on that.
There's a little bit of a cap penalty awaiting the Bills if they do move on him, which maybe is why they haven't. But yeah, that was not a great night for him, obviously.
How about Ray Davis stepping in to the void left by James Cook being inactive with the toe / foot injury? It seemed like a lot of juice there, Eric.
Absolutely. And you draft a running back in the fourth round, you expect him to play and play a role in the team. And he hasn't had a ton of work this year. He's a guy who I've saw plenty of and saw too much of in college when he finished his career at Kentucky. And he was very dynamic against my Louisville Cardinals last year in our rivalry game. And so I got to see him some in college and understood what he could potentially bring to the table. And oftentimes running backs like him, a 220-pound back, a lot of times those guys got to get in. You know, it helps any running back, it helps any player on the field to get into the rhythm of the game, to not go in and spell your Pro Bowl running back for a play or two and feel like, well, if I don't make the most of this opportunity, if I don't take this one for 8 yards, I'm probably not going to get another carry. So you're maybe pressing at times. And so to see him get the full workload last night and show up in such a big way, it was awesome for the young man. And tell you what, I enjoyed his post-game press conference too. Just seems like a really refreshing young man. But, you know, it's exciting to see him perform like that last night. Likely gives him a bunch of confidence moving forward. Obviously gives Joe Brady confidence in him to dial him up a little bit more as James Cook comes back from this toe injury.
I'm thinking about the Hail Mary. Eric, will you join me this election season in voting yes on Proposition 8B that prohibits the Bills from ever again calling a timeout on defense? I mean, just why is there always the timeout to get sort of prepared when this happens? I mean, I know it's not always, but there are some pretty famous examples, and this is another.
This is. I'll also say that Sean McDermott's had some good, you know, whether it's him or Bobby Babbage, whoever coaching on the sideline, you know, when they take that snapshot, being able to go and say, okay, this was the look they gave. These are the plays they generally run in this. Coach up your guys on the sideline, send them back out there. If they switch their play, hopefully they got out of their best play in that situation. They're moving to another one. But, yeah, I mean, you know, looking back, you likely have a different defensive front. You're lucky it doesn't cost you the game in the end. But, yeah, I just felt like, you know, when the Jets got the ball back with 23 seconds left, you're thinking, okay, best case scenario, they give Zuerlein an attempt and a long field goal. And then when they guarded the sidelines, Rodgers throws one up in the end zone. And you're like, you get that pit in your stomach as soon as that ball goes up in your air and up in the air. And originally it was ruled an incompletion. And then the other official comes in the other side and makes the correct call for a touchdown. Yeah, that was not ideal in the moment.
I was surprised they even tried to do anything. I mean, this is the Jets here. I was impressed that they even ran a play from 23 seconds. 20 to 10, I was expecting them not to do that, but I was wrong, and that happens. Can you – I almost can defend the strategy there. I don't know why it has to be edge rushers. I mean, they only have so many DBs, and maybe it's okay, but just – I mean, redefining the term edge by having – your edge rusher on the sidelines. Right. I mean, I've never even conceived of a strategy like that.
I know. And it's interesting because prior to that play, I was saying, okay, the Jets have, what'd they have, 12 seconds left. And so we would always say, and no timeout, so we would always say, or sorry, they had, what was it, 8 seconds, regardless. Yeah, I think it was 8 seconds, and we would always say, like, our cutoff was generally 13 seconds. So if we have 13 seconds left, we can run a slant route and then all get organized in time to be able to spike the football. Anything less than that, the half's likely going to run out on you or the end of the game. And so, you know, you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, let's protect the sideline. So they got to complete this ball inbounds. And so I thought it was interesting, too, that Zuerlein's career long on a field goal was 61, so they had Epines at and Rousseau kind of right around the 41-yard line, trying to, like, keep them out of Zerline field goal range. But then you might not have as many guys back as you needed to. And, you know, looking back, obviously they'd have a different plan. I'm sure that's not something they work on a ton. So, okay, well, when those guys go deep, maybe, you know, your 2 6'5", 6'6" defensive ends run back deep and maybe help bat that ball down.
Makes sense to me. Well, that game is behind them. It's a great place to be here as we wrap, Eric. I mean, 4-2, a game and a half up on Miami, 2 on the Jets. You've beaten both of them on the road already. It hasn't been a perfect ride so far, but the Bills are in a great position. Now this addition of Amari Cooper is very exciting. Tennessee this week here, this is about the biggest favorite the Bills will be at all this year. It certainly is the biggest favorite they've been by 9 against the Titans. The Titans seem to have a pretty good defense, good secondary especially. So not like such a not a perfectly easy mark here for the Bills, but offense.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
They're kind of, at least in the passing game, they seem like they're kind of nowhere.
Yeah, this is a team that has really struggled on offense. Their defense statistics are really good. Like you mentioned, good secondary. They have Simmons up front. They have Landry up front. Both those guys are really good players. But you also got to take into the fact that when the other team's offense is when the Titans' offense is that bad, teams aren't going to really be pressing that defense as much as maybe they would if they felt like they had to keep up with pace. But I'm not going to lie and act like I've watched a ton of Titans football. I've seen plenty of Will Levis lowlights. this season. Their quarterback, he seems to do just something baffling each and every week. And so this should be an opportunity for the Bills defense to have a big week. And then offensively, did a lot better things last night. And even though you have just 23 points on the scoreboard last night, you feel good about, you know, kind of where the offense sits after two really bad weeks against the Ravens and the Texans.
Thank you, Eric. And for yesterday, good luck with your car, and we will talk next Monday.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. And sorry about the technical difficulties at the start.
It's okay.
It's all right, man. We made it work. Eric Wood's appearance here on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown.
Open lines at 803-0550. Amari Cooper, how big a get is this for the Bills? And your thoughts on last night's game. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after the update. Ross Tucker at 5. This is WGR.
You know, you look at this group, there are a lot of journeymen in that group. Valdez-Scantling is, you know, journeyman. Mac Hollins, journeyman. Keon Coleman hasn't developed. Curtis Samuel's a gimmicky weapon. And Shakir is a good player, but you need more. And I think going out and getting more after what the Jets did makes sense for them.
Pete Prisco weighing in. What makes someone a journeyman? I guess you and I would be journeymen if we were in, like, two other jobs along the way here.
Right.
But we're not journeymen because we're at this one job.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do it a long time and you bounce around, then you're journeyman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Like, I think you need to be in between your third and fourth team to be described. Like, you're going from your third team to your fourth team. I think that's when you become a journeyman.
But
I don't know that two or three, the transition is not the same to me.
But you could also only be so good.
That's right.
Like, Amari Cooper is not being called a journeyman.
No.
Because he's better than that? Is Al Michaels a journeyman? ABC, NBC, Prime?
No, he's
too good.
He's Al Michaels.
He's a legend.
Yeah, right.
Not a journeyman.
Right. That's right.
Legend can't be a
journeyman.
That's
right. Cooper, I would not. He's had a journeyman-like career in that he's played for now a fourth team. But, yeah, no, he's put up big numbers everywhere he's been.
The Venn diagram, journeyman and legend, it's only like baseball players who play into their 40s, like Ken Griffey Jr. and Randy Johnson, became almost journeyman when Randy Johnson was pitching for the Giants. Come on.
Yeah.
You're still great. Hall of Famer.
Right.
But you're treading kind of close to journeyman status here.
You're clearly just hanging on here. Yeah.
Come on. Have some pride. Don't take that $18 million offer to pitch 20 games. Have some pride. Just go to the races or something instead.
Buy a boat.
Buy a boat. Get out of here. Bills trade for Amari Cooper after beating the Jets to go to 4-2. I mean, all the different times we stressed about things and kind of tried to predict what would happen with this season, they're in great shape. And this trade is exciting. We'll see what it does for them. It makes sense. I agree with Pete Prisco. But who knows? Like, it's worth trying it. But either way, like, they're in great shape with that win. Road wins over the Dolphins and Jets already in the bank. And both of those teams, everybody else in the division has a losing record. The Jets have made their move.
Yep, they
with
made their
Devontae
move,
Adams.
And they got their top level Rodgers game from him last night. Like, he was really good. He wasn't moving around as much as he did in that New England game back in week 3, but I mean, he almost got the 300 yards. Like, it was an effective day for him, and they still lost.
Like, and they got 113 from Breece Hall.
Right. I don't think you're going to get. We talked about this yesterday. Like, he, you know, being able to be the legend that he is, at this age, at this stage of his career, I just don't expect you're going to get that level of performance from him week in, week out. And you really haven't. It's been 2 out of 6, I'd say, where he's looked like, ooh, this guy could beat me today. And I think he definitely looked that way last night. But even as soon as this Sunday night when they play Pittsburgh, I don't know what I'm going to get. He's 40, and he's getting knocked around a lot. I mean, the Bills didn't get to him a ton, but they hit him hard a couple times. And I don't know. Like, I'm not here to say they shouldn't have traded for Davante Adams, but the whole thing hinges on Rodgers, whether he can make it work. And whoever's out there catching the ball from him, I mean, I think there's reason to have doubts, even as good as he looked last night. I just don't think you can expect that he's going to look that good in the remaining, 12 games left.
803-0550. Let's go to Chris next. Hi, Chris.
How you doing, guys?
Great.
I just want to touch on a couple things. First of all, big win for the Bills. Things weren't going their way sometimes, and then they found a way to win. That's a huge victory for them. But on that Hail Mary pass, I would have liked to see at least three guys rushing a quarterback, giving a quarterback way too much time to set up and launch a ball accurately down at that end of the field. And Teron Johnson, welcome back.
Yes, he's an excellent player.
I don't know what he was doing on the Hail Mary exactly. Like he's all tangled up with Lazard as that ball is coming in and like is in no position to really even defend it. Like I don't know if he was trying to get position there, like, you know, box out kind of thing. But like he's bent over as the ball comes in. Like it's just very odd. But obviously, I mean, he made up for it. Huge play at the end there. I don't know. Maybe if he doesn't intervene, Williams still had a chance to catch that, I think. Even as awkward as it looked with him falling and the ball being as underthrown as it was, but Johnson did a great job there. Yeah, their defense on that play, I respect wanting to be worried about more than just the end zone there. So I just think there's got to be a smarter way to do it. Does everybody have to be waiting at the 5-yard line when the ball is snapped? I mean, they can run with the receivers to make sure they're not going for the sideline, and you can have a few people back there. I mean, they had 7 people back there, or maybe it was only 6 because Bernard was sort of in no man's land too. I think he was like in the middle of the field there because he's the guy who rushes toward Rodgers as he throws it. And if you're like me, as you saw him closing on Rodgers and Rodgers ready to throw, my thought was, don't hit him. You're going to be late. And if you hit him, it's going to be trouble. And he didn't. Maybe if he did, they would have gotten flagged, and that would have been a better outcome than a 50-yard touchdown ended up being, I don't know.
No, I think I can't bring myself to hate on it too much. Like I don't know why it was my edge rushers and not whoever else at the sideline, like DBs, but you want them in the end zone? Do you want bigger guys to break up a Hail Mary? I think all you want as the Bills is to force the Jets into a Hail Mary. Like, that's the best case scenario for you. I guess a sack. I'm not with the caller that I needed a pass rush. I wouldn't want to commit. That's part of the 13 seconds thing, which is a different situation, but why am I rushing anybody in that spot? Just run. The Jets are out of timeouts. Chiefs are out of timeouts. Well, they weren't. They had to use them.
Yeah, Chiefs.
I don't need to go back to that, but just like, yeah. I don't think my odds are of getting a sack there really are worth trying to maximize. I just think if they throw that pass, I should win the play.
Yeah, I agree. It's whether you have 2 guys, 4 guys, 0 guys rushing, it's a low percentage throw. And I guess, you know, the more you guys you have back there, you would think that decreases the likelihood of the play being made on you. I mean, I'm just here to tell you, my view, I think 2 rushers would have made a 2 more rushers would have made a difference on that specific play, the way it unfolded. It took long. I mean, it's not a typical long, deep pass. You're waiting for the guys to get down there to turn it into a jump ball. So you're holding on to that ball for as long as you hold on to any pass before you throw it. And furthermore, I already said earlier, like, can't one of my corners or both of my corners, whoever, just give me a DB running with the receivers like a normal pass play. And if they stop short, I'm there. If they don't, I run with them to the end zone. I've already got 4 other dudes waiting down there as it is. So everyone doesn't have to be waiting there playing center field. And that just would have freed up, you know, more guys to prevent Rodgers from getting off any kind of an accurate pass at all. So I just thought it was a weird way to deploy the guys. I get wanting to take away that sideline. I just think there's a way to do it with your DBs that doesn't require wasting really 3 men just standing in the middle of the field doing nothing.
How could the Jets have even known that their kicker would not be able to make a field goal anymore on this night either?
Right.
Missed from 32 and 43, Zuerlein. Greg the Leg. You like to call him Greg. I don't know if you know his name was Zerline. You like to call him Greg the Leg.
Yeah, that's
pretty brutal.
That's how I address him in the Christmas cards.
Greg the Leg. Didn't go well. Rick is next. Hello, Rick.
Hi, how you guys talk? I like what you're talking about. When I saw that two-man rush, I hollered at the TV. No, I thought they should have went with four. And another thing they could have done, I've seen other NFL teams do it. You take like a Dawson Knox or one of your wide receivers with a little height. As long as it's going to be a jump ball in the end zone, you put somebody with good hands back there with a little more height. And I thought maybe that would have been a good idea maybe in the future. But in the future, I think we should just go with four.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know that I need hands necessarily. I mean, it's funny. I had this thought about Rousseau, like him being utilized like he was utilized. I mean, he's the biggest dude on the team. I don't know about his hops necessarily, but if I need a big guy at the goal line to be waiting there, maybe that's where I should put him, not out there. Because really, what is he or Epinesa? Like if Garrett Wilson, for some reason, decides to run a pass pattern near them, how's that going to go exactly? Like you're going to force him out of bounds, which is what they want. You're going to get to him and tackle him inbounds and the clock's going to run. I don't know. The whole thing was just weird to me. But I wouldn't be against a guy like Rousseau being back there to play jump ball defender at all.
I think the logic probably was that those guys would be able to wrap up the receiver. McDermott is big on the rule about how when you go out of bounds, if you're not going forward, the clock should keep running. So I think that's probably what he was thinking there. Was these guys, even if it is Garrett Wilson or Mike Williams, you know, big targets, my guys can wrap those guys up, or maybe my DBs don't, and they get that leverage. Wilson makes a catch, has the leverage, and gets out of bounds forward to stop the clock, whereas Rousseau would just sort of have the leverage on his side. That's my best guess.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. Do they practice that? I wouldn't know. But
I don't know.
I do think McDermott was right to think that he wanted to take that away, because that's probably the Jets' best percentage play is to throw a 10-yard out. They had time to do that. They're at the 48. You know, they're not in field goal range yet. 10, 12 yards gets them to the fringe of field goal range, and like that's a better chance to score than a Hail Mary. But again, you gotta break it up.
Right. They did a pretty terrible job.
They didn't do that.
No, they didn't.
Well, that idea of the Bills running the table now that they've had their two-game losing streak is still live.
It's live, yep.
27-2 since 2020 in games played after two straight losses in a season. 27-2. Man.
And the losses are what? Philly in overtime?
And Hail Mary.
And Hail Mary. Holy cow. Speaking of Hail Marys. Yeah.
That's it. I mean, I wouldn't want to call this game an escape exactly. Because the Bills were not outplayed, really. It was close, though. So they survived it. I mean, it wasn't an escape. An escape for me is like, you got outplayed, but you won. This was not exactly that. They easily could have lost the game with the field goals.
They could have, but the thing that stops me from phrasing it that way myself is that I missed kicks, too. Like, you know, like the Bills cost themselves 4 points with a missed extra point and a missed field goal. So it's more like a night where kicking is hard. And so they missed two, I missed two. You know, it's not a wash completely because theirs were six and mine were only four, but still. I don't feel like it's an escape. It was a very odd game because of the flags, just so many penalties, and just so much offsetting and two fouls on the same team, and like just it was just a very frustrating watch, I would say. But it doesn't leave me feeling like they escaped.
Ross Tucker today coming up in less than 20 minutes, 803-0550 if you want to join us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is WGR. Welcome back. Ross Tucker coming up after the 5 o'clock update. His thoughts on the Bills' acquisition of Amari Cooper, their win last night, and why not what the Jets did today, trading for Davante Adams. Not that much of a surprise, but the Bills followed suit quickly. If that's even the right way to put it. I mean, I'm not sure that Adams had anything to do with their move. Let's go to Jeff next. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome.
I'm not comparing Diggs to Cooper as far as like the players they are this year or whatnot, but if you think about it as like a bundle of goods, I mean, this year we picked up a second-round pick and we gave up a third-round pick. Cooper might be a better fit as far as the position he plays than maybe Diggs is as far as being in the slot. And we're basically getting out of salary cap, you know, constraints. I guess my point is Cooper is a pretty good consolation prize for the year that you're eating Diggs $30 million or $20 million against the cap. It's a pretty good situation that we found ourselves in. I don't think Bean maybe planned on this, but and I'm not saying it's going to work out perfectly, but I really kind of like where we're at from a salary cap, from a draft, and from a player fit standpoint. So, A+.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. So do I.
Yeah, I think that all makes sense. Cooper was the player when we would talk about this idea that I thought made more sense because of cost to acquire, really, you know, money-wise, salary cap room, and entanglements beyond, you know, beyond this year. I mean, we'll see what ends up happening with Davante Adams' contract and whether the Bills feel compelled to do anything with Cooper other than just let him play out this year and then become a free agent. I just think it always made more sense that they'd be in the market for Cooper. They simply, if the Raiders were not going to keep any salary or were going to need to be, you're going to have to buy that off of them by increasing your return, I never thought it was realistic at all. The Bills simply did not have the money, the room on the salary cap to acquire Adams the way the Jets did today.
And the right speculation always was that that was the Raiders' top priority, to not have to pay.
Right.
And that's what happened, right? Yeah, you know, I think really so many times we looked at the schedule this year and there was a line drawn after last night. Six games, four at night, road games, division. I mean, pretty challenging first six games. Not that they can't find other challenges. I mean, the schedule isn't all, it's not cake what's left, but still, like, that for me was the line to draw after six games. Can you go 4-2? Like, 4-2, I would have said yes every time to 4-2 for this team, and they managed to do it. And then here comes this move after that. They're not, it's all to say, like, they're not dead. Part of the Jet calculus is that they're 2-4 now, making this move for Adams. And I'm fine with that, too, for them, because they've already pushed in with Rodgers and, like, you know, your future is going to, it's going to get you, but this is where you want to be, and you're all in, right? So I would be okay with this for them. But, part of it is that they've already lost four games, and they're two back without the tiebreaker. So it's like the wild card hunt, not only, I mean, that's not the only thing that can happen, but that's what is most realistic if they're in the playoffs at all. Would you take right now the Bills as the 3, the Jets as the 6?
No, I don't think I have to. I mean, I obviously would love, yeah, right. I would love the Bills as a 3. I mean,
you'd rather play Cincinnati. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
I don't think this is going to work for them. I mean, I haven't all along. And it's not because I don't think Davante Adams is excellent. I don't think the quarterback can be good enough, regularly enough, for them to win 10 or 11 games. I just don't see it.
At Pittsburgh Sunday night, and I guess Russell Wilson in this game, or Russell Wilson, or whatever I was about to say. It wasn't Russell Wilson. Ross Tucker coming up after sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.